Bris tomorrow, so I have a special schedule for my shiur, so we're going to discuss some Rashis today, some interesting Rashis. But in between Rashis, we're going to have to say Yud Gimel Midos. So it's going to be a little Rashi and a little Yud Gimel Midos because of the Bhat. So there's a dispute that erupts between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. And the only information we have from the Torah is that they were each very wealthy. But it seems a little bit odd because there's so few people that live in the ancient world. And as wealthy as they were, there should have been enough room for their respective herds to graze. So Rashi fills in the blanks that the dispute was not just a territorial dispute or a financial dispute, but it was a moral and legal dispute. I have to find the Rashi just to sit down. Excuse me for a second. Where's the Rashi? Vahi Riv. They were wicked shepherds, and they allowed their cattle to graze on lands which weren't theirs. But Rashi fills in the blank that they had a moral justification, and so they thought. Why? This will be Avram's land one day anyway. And Lot is his Yoresh. Therefore it isn't theft, because this will be our land one day. And in response, of course, Avram shepherds said, well, it's not our land yet, and hence the Torah writes Vaknani Azbaris earlier in the Parsha. This is a fascinating conversation on two levels. Number one, the danger of employing prophetic realities in the future in general to dictate moral and legal behavior in the present. And that's why many people are very concerned about prophecy in general and trying to read prophetic meaning into current events. We feel like we've returned to Israel and we're able to open Tanakh and at least draw some general associations between Pesukim and Tanakh and the events that have happened to our people. But sometimes prophecy can lead people, it's called a fancy word, antinomianism, to lead people into non-halachic behavior or non-moral behavior. So in general, that was, of course, the great danger of Shabtai Tzvi. Say, oh, Mashiach is here, I'm the Mashiach, we can now eat pork, we can now repeal Isurim. So we have to be halachic and moral when there's no halacha that dictates moral is impractical, and not allow prophecy to cloud our vision and cloud our behavior. In particular, this is very resonant in our day. I believe every centimeter of this land will be ours one day. This is our homeland. And I'm trying to take whatever efforts I can within moral and halachic and legal means to make that happen. But just because I'm convinced that one day this land will be ours doesn't mean I don't have to respect the rights of those who currently live here and currently are living side by side with me. Adonai El Rachum Echanon Erech Abayim Vav Chesed V'emes Natsar Chesed L'olechim Esev On V'fesha V'chata V'nakei V'salachta L'avoninu L'chataseinu U'nechaltanu. So it's a very, very appropriate Rashi that indeed the Roei Lot were right, and you can't step down from your prophetic certainty. But Haknani Azbaret, that time still hasn't come. The world still doesn't reflect that prophetic image. And therefore, we have to respect the Kenani Azbarets. I'm not talking about terrorists and criminals and enemies, but your average upstanding Palestinian citizen who lives in this land and has rights, as much as we are driving our prophecy and our certainty and our responsibility to enable that prophecy, you have to respect the rights. And that was the great mistake of Roei Lot, number one. Number two, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avram that his children will be kafar haaretz after Lot departs. Asher im yuchal ish lenos es afar haaretz gam zaracha yimoneh. It's a very strange pasuk. If you read the pasuk carefully, v'samtia zaracha kafar haaretz. Period. That's all you need. It'll be as plentiful as the dust, as the ground, as the earth. Then the Torah continues, Asher. Let me explain what I mean, Hashem says. There's a pause. There's an esnachta. Asher. What do I mean? Im yuchal ish lenos es afar haaretz. If someone can count the dust, then your children will also be counted. It's a very strange pasuk. Why does Hashem have to clarify? He already said, we know what that means. Then Hashem clarifies, it's a very awkward grammar. Asher, what do I mean? Pause. Adonai, El Rachum Echanon, Erech Apayim Vav Chesed B'emes, Netzer Chesed Lo V'nasir, Bon V'fesha B'chata B'nakei, V'salachta L'avoninu, V'lachataseinu N'chaltanu. So, presumably, some want to claim that this Rashi is based on a Medrash. The Medrash claims that our being compared to Afar Haaretz is not just how multiple and how large our population will be, but the imagery of Afar Haaretz evokes many other realities about the Jewish people. So, for example, the Medrash says that just like the dust is scattered, the earth is scattered across the globe, at certain points in Jewish history, Jews won't be concentrated in their land. They'll be scattered. The Medrash is, Ma afar haaretz misof haolam v'yatzofo, kach bonecha yehu mufuzarim. Second of all, the land is the basis for growth. That's where trees grow. That's where people build houses. So the Jews are the basis for the welfare of humanity. We're not just interested in our own prosperity, but in advancing the world and its state. So our comparison to Afar is not just about how large our population will be, but our role and function in history and certain periods in Golos that will have to be scattered. So that's why the Pasuk is structured that way. Hashem tells Avram, V'haya zarecha k'afar haaretz. Pause. There'll be many associations between the Jews and the Afar haaretz. Now, one of them that I want to speak with you right now about is Asher im yuchal ish lispar, so this pause in the Pasuk is reminding us that the analogy to Afar is not just the population swell, but other areas. And of course, for most of history, we haven't really yet merited the population swell like Afar Haaretz. We believe that one day the Jews will occupy experience a population swell. But for most of history, the comparison to Afar Haaretz hasn't been the size of our people. Nisemat. It's been because of all the other Afar-like qualities that we exhibit. So that's why the Pasuk is structured with a pause. Hashem says, you'll be like the Afar Haaretz. By the way, right now, the issue that I'm stressing is of Afar Haaretz is how large your population will be. Right afterwards, the war breaks out between the four kings and the five kings, and Rashi notes that the names are not just random, but the names reflect certain criminality and certain rebellious tendencies on the part of those four kings who are totalitarian and dictators. One of their names was Shem Ever. So some of the other names, their criminal nature is easy to tell. Shin Av, Rashi says, he hated his father. Who is his father? He hated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Birsha, Resha. So the criminality of these kings is quite evident in some of their names. But one of the king's names was Shem Ever. What could possibly be so rebellious and flawed about the word Shem Ever? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Shem Ever, Sam Ever La'uf, Vilikpots, Vilimrod Bakarish Barchu. This king actually, fascinating, in the year 2000, around, he made some sort of wings, an apparatus, Shem Ever, to try to fly. Does this remind anyone of Greek mythology? Daedalus and Icarus. They tried to create wings to fly. Evidently, this concept, this myth, this attempt was taken well before Daedalus and Icarus. They're going way back in history. Somehow they tried to create a contraption to fly. Now, what's fascinating about this is, first of all, how early it appears. Finish in a moment. Now we're going to fly with our Yud Gimel Midos. It demonstrates throughout history man's desire to transcend his limits. We're grounded on this earth through gravity. We have weight. It's hard for us to beat gravity, but we desire to transcend those limits and to explore the heavens. And it's been a desire of man throughout history. That's why it keeps surfacing in different cultures. And this is our first record. However, it's not just a desire of the human imagination, and that's why our fascination with birds when we see them fly, and people are so engrossed with birds, but it can lead to rebelliousness. It can lead to a blurring of the differences between Shemayim and Aretz. HaShemayim, Shemayim, Lashem, Aretz, Hassan, Lefnei Adam. If you live in that world in which you can't partake of the Shemayim, the hierarchy is clear. Hashem's in the Shemayim, you're in the Aretz, and you're very careful about that hierarchy. And the desire to shatter that hierarchy can lead to the type of rebellion that Rashi imputes to all these people, Birsha, and Bera, and Shin Av, and Shem Ever. So for Shem Ever, it wasn't just a physics project in which he wanted to try to fly, but his physics project became the basis for his theological rebellion. It's resonant because today we really have captured flight.
both within our atmosphere as well as into outer space. And what does that mean about a man's relationship with God and about the hierarchy that should exist between knowing the limits of the human condition and the unlimited list of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a real 1969 when we landed a man on the moon, or the early 60s when the Sputnik finally pierced, or even the advance of aviation in the 20th century has led to a shifting of human identity and challenge the religious consciousness to maintain that hierarchy. And this challenge is first stated by Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha. So just because we've been saying Slichos and Rashi, a summary of the three Rashis. Number one, the debate between Avram's shepherds and Lot's shepherds is interesting. It's not between Avram and Lot, it's between the shepherds, which means that it's something even more basic than halacha. It's about morality, not about legality, but about morality. It will be our land one day, but right now, even shepherds realize you have to respect the rights of those who live there, even Avram's shepherds. Number two, the fact that Hashem compares us to Afar, not only population swell, but our function in history, the Medrash fills in the blanks. That's why the Pasuk is structured so awkwardly. By the way, Asher, one of them that I'm discussing now is that there'll be as multiple as Afar Arts. Number three, Shem Aver, some Aver. The word Shem Aver means he made a wing, he made a limb, he made some sort of contraption. He made some Aver, La'uf v'likpots, Rashi says, to try to jump to Shemayim, v'limrod b'kodesh baruch. It's very similar to Migdal Bavel, but Migdal Bavel, they can only build an edifice. Here, he wanted to take flight, Shem Aver, to be married in a kodesh baruch. Okay, we did. It's not easy to nicely say Rashi at the same time. Tomorrow we'll have no after Shachar's shir, because I have a special shir with my shir after Vatikan. I have this special. We'll resume on Sunday.